This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello. Great to be with you. Thanks for tuning in.
And Bridget, Christmas, have you got your shopping done, started?
I actually have started. I'm a little bit more organized this year.
We did ours, well, some of ours, pretty early this year, and a lot of it online. And if that is something that you're going to be doing, a lot of online shopping this year, if you're going to be using Amazon, we don't want to tell you where or how to shop, but if you're going to be using Amazon, you can help us out a little bit. If you first go to smile.amazon and choose Catholic Radio Indy as your charity, you just do that one time, and then you can forget all about it. And every time you shop on anything on Amazon, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage. And of course, we've got a lot of listeners, so if everybody does that, it all adds up. Doesn't cost you anything, doesn't cost us anything. So smile.amazon or amazon.smile, or you can go to our website, catholicradioindy.org, and just click on the Amazon logo to get started. It only takes a second. You just have to pick a charity, and we hope you'll pick Catholic Radio Indy.
Well, recently, Jim and I had a couple guests in here talking about the 40 Days for Life and talking a lot about pro-life activities. And one of them talked about how Indiana is a very adoption-friendly state. And I really wanted to learn more about that. So I got in touch with our guest today. We are going to be talking about the loving option of adoption. And joining us is our guest today, Renee Hummel. She is the director of St. Elizabeth Coleman Pregnancy and Adoption Services. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you.
Well, I want to ask you a little bit about the organization that you work for, St. Elizabeth Coleman Pregnancy and Adoption Services. How long has it been around? Where and why did it start? And tell us a little bit about the mission.
Okay. So in 1915, the Daughters of Isabella, Mother Theodore Circle, founded St. Elizabeth to meet the needs of local women and children during World War I. Initially, the Charitable Women's Organization provided hot meals and daycare to local children while their mothers worked. In 1922, the Daughters of Isabella purchased the Fletcher home at 2500 Churchman Avenue, where they began offering adoptive services, residential and prenatal medical care to young mothers. Continuing this service through the 70s, then we began developing statewide pro-life programs that resulted in a letter of recognition from President Ronald Reagan. We served more than 100 women and families yearly. St. Elizabeth has an intense and positive impact on those we encounter. Through many renovations and constructions, our building has remained a foundation for women. Despite the changes, we have always been consistent and a welcoming face in our community. Over the last 100 years, thousands of women have walked through our agency's door to reach for help. Girls and women who have unplanned pregnancy, couples who are longing to open their hearts and welcome families or child into their family, and adults searching to connect their biological family members.
Now, is this a local organization only, or are there St. Elizabeth homes all across the country?
So we're local. We're part of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. We're part of Catholic Charities. So we're local, but we serve statewide.
Okay. So how, this might be an unusual question, but how common is adoption? I mean, maybe that's a hard question to answer, but maybe in Indiana, is it a common thing or is it rare?
So nationally, about 1% will make an adoption plan of women that get pregnant.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Our average wait for an adoptive couple is 2 years.
Okay, so if you're planning to adopt, you need to kind of plan ahead, right?
Right.
for about that long. Well, I want to talk a little bit about yourself. This show is called Faith in Action. I'm just curious, you know, a little bit about your background and maybe what drew you into work in this type of ministry.
Okay. So I worked for St. Elizabeth Coleman for 28 years.
Wow.
Prior to that, I worked for the Department of Children's Services And while I was working for DCS, I learned about a job opening at St. Elizabeth Coleman. A friend of mine called to tell me. I was excited to have the opportunity to learn more about the agency and to work for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. I liked everything about St. Elizabeth Coleman and what they had to offer. Pro-life, providing services to women, and being an adoption agency.
Now, is St. Elizabeth a program or is it a place? Is it a physical brick-and-mortar place?
We are a physical, yep, we're a physical place. We're at 2500 Churchman Avenue. We're close to Beech Grove on the southeast side of downtown. And we've been in the same location since 1922.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. We're talking with Renee Hummel. She is the director of the St. Elizabeth Coleman Pregnancy and Adoption Services organization. I want to talk a little bit about what services you provide. Could you kind of walk us through like what happens with the adoption process and maybe the kind of services that you provide, what someone could expect?
So the services that we provide, we are a licensed not-for-profit adoption agency. We're licensed from the state of Indiana, and we assure that the adoption process will be a professional and positive experience for the adoptive family, the adoptee, and the birth parents. We provide services to pregnant women to help them through their journey of their pregnancy. We understand that each person's story is different, but we're here for her to help her so she can make the best decision for her and her child. Either way, parenting or adoption, we're here to help her with her plan. We're an adoption agency that works with domestic and international adoption. A couple needs an approved home study to adopt. I like to call it an adoption preparation study. But this includes individual and conjoint interviews, home visit, we check references, background checks, financial statements, and physicals. The goal is to certify that the family is educated and financially, physically, and emotionally prepared for adoption.
Now, do you work only with newborn infants, or do you have 2 and 3 year olds and 12 year olds, or where do
so
you?
So we not 12 year olds, usually up until the age of 5, but we have placed older children, but predominantly we place newborn infants.
So what are you looking for in terms of like a good parental match for children that come into adoption? Is there, you know, is there like a typical couple that comes in, or what are you looking for?
So the nice thing now is that, so we approve the families through the home study process, and then they're approved. And part of that, at the end, they make a profile book. The nice thing is the birth mother chooses the adoptive couple. She can look through all our adoptive couples profile book, and she picks the couple that best meets what she's looking for. Sometimes they pick them because they have the family that's similar to their family. Sometimes they pick them for many different reasons. But they get to know the family through the pictures of the book, and then they can meet them.
So do you have women that come to you like that are in crisis, like a crisis pregnancy? Is that how they connect with you? Or someone just, how do you find... how do mothers who maybe want to give their child up for adoption find you? How do you get your, I guess, mothers?
So they come to us. Again, we've been around for a long time,
yeah.
Since 1915. So a lot of people know of our agency. We get referrals from word of mouth, but too from the clinics, their doctor's office. We speak at conferences. We speak at high schools. So they learn about our agency that way.
Now, are all
but our majority of our referrals are through word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Now, are all of the infants local in the state of Indiana?
In the state of Indiana, yep.
Okay.
So how does Indiana, and I've heard this, you know, from Mark Tuttle and Timothy O'Donnell, who host a show here, and I've interviewed them recently. They say that Indiana's a very, I guess, maybe an adoption-friendly state. Is that true? And like, how do we compare to other states around the country with regard to adoption? And then I guess the second question is what makes us a friendly state, if that's true?
So Indiana is an adoption-friendly state. We have good laws in regards to the birth mother, the birth father, and for the adoptive couple.
And so in terms of comparing to other states, you know, do you have any numbers or like, you know, just as an how many adoptions do you have, like maybe in any given year? Is there an average, I mean, over the years?
So we do typically around I would say around 20 adoptions a year.
Okay. All right. So I'm sure you have a lot of really great stories too. I think it's really neat that the mother of the child gets to look at through those profiles. I mean that's really super cool. Of you know who they want to have their child, you know, go to the parents. Do you want to share any stories or anything that just sticks out in your mind in terms of, you know, just success? I mean, I'm sure they're all success stories, but is there any particular parents that you can think of or birth mother that you can think of that just really was just a really cool experience?
So I would have to say it's probably the first adoption that I was a part of, and I have a strong memory of that. I can remember, you know, it was a long time ago, but I still remember it. And it was the fact of witnessing the adoption. I saw the grief and loss that the birth mother went through signing her adoption papers, but then I got to see the joy that she had in placing the child in the adoptive couple's arms, as well as the adoptive couple, the joy that they had receiving the child, but also them showing their care and love for the birth mother.
Now, it sounds like most of the adoptions that you're talking about maybe are kind of a cooperative effort between the birth mother and the adoptive parents, but is there a separation between them, or how do you draw the line? Does the child, as it grows up, know the birth mother, their birth mother, or do they keep that separate, or how does that work?
So they kind of decide between both of them, but it's really the birth mother. She can decide what type of adoption she wants. There's a closed adoption, a semi-open, and an open adoption. Closed is where she doesn't want to pick the family. She doesn't want to have ongoing communication with the adoptive parents, and she'll leave that up to the agency. We rarely do closed adoptions, at the most maybe one a year. Most of our adoptions are either semi-open or open adoption, or that is, or semi-open is where the birth mother picks the adoptive couple through the profile books. She meets with them, and ongoing they'll exchange pictures and letters. Due to social media now, a lot of that's through blogs, Facebook, different things like that. And a total open adoption is where they exchange all identifying information, where they exchange phone, and they might, sometimes not always, but they can exchange phone numbers and addresses, and the communication is by them without the agency involved.
And do some of them have an ongoing relationship? I mean, can the birth mother show up for birthday parties and things like that? Or?
Well, we don't ever have them show up uninvited, but we certainly have. Yep, the adoptive couple will invite. We've had where one birth mother, the son that she placed for adoption, he was in her wedding. She got married 5 years later, and he was the little ring bearer in her wedding.
Aw, that's so cute. Well, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about adoption in Indiana with the St. Elizabeth Coleman Pregnancy and Adoption Services Organization. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa. Play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Renee Hummel. She is the director of the St. Elizabeth Coleman Pregnancy and Adoption Services.
And Renee, I always wonder about the name, the St. Elizabeth Coleman Pregnancy and Adoption Center. Most saints don't have last names, so there really never was a St. Elizabeth Coleman, right?
Correct. St. Elizabeth had the honor to merge with another agency holding similar values and carrying our rich history, Coleman Adoption Services. Even before St. Elizabeth was established, two civic-minded Indianapolis women gave lodging, food, and medical care during the Civil War to pregnant women in need. In 1894, the need for assistance grew to become an established agency named Door of Hope. Later, they renamed to Emma Coleman Home and eventually named Coleman Adoption Services. But on August 1, 2004, St. Elizabeth Coleman came together to form St. Elizabeth Coleman, a full-service agency committed to providing support and services to women.
Now, the name also, Adoption and Pregnancy Center. We've been talking mostly about adoptions. Do you help people with who are having pregnancies, who eventually want to put their child up for adoption?
To place for adoption?
Yes.
Yep. We're a licensed child placing agency, so we can do the full services of adoption. We work with the birth mother and help her make the adoption plan as well as approve the adoptive couple.
And so in some cases, the birth mother might actually come and live at the center for a while?
So we don't have a maternity home anymore. We used to, but that closed in 2007.
So I want to ask you if, what is the process, I guess, in terms of, like, let's say that someone was listening and they wanted to maybe adopt a child through St. Elizabeth Coleman, your services. What do they need to be thinking about? I mean, what does it take to make that decision to adopt? And what's the process? Like, could you walk us through that for those who might be listening, who might think, you know, I have my own children, but maybe I want to adopt?
Yep. So if they want to adopt, the first step is to coming to a general information meeting that we host quarterly. And that kind of helps them learn more about adoption and make sure it's a right fit for them and that our agency is a right fit for them as well.
Now, what about mothers-to-be on the other side of the line who, gee, aren't sure whether maybe they're thinking about abortion, maybe adoption, maybe whatever. Do they come to you as well, and do you offer them counseling?
So we offer them counseling to help them through if they're going to make an adoption plan or they want to choose to parent, and we're here for them to help them support in either way. If they do choose to parent, we have a support group, a single mother support group that they can participate in. We help them with receiving layettes for the newborn baby. We toilet paper, paper towels, formula, baby clothing, things like that that they may need. We can assist them with that. And again, the support group that they can attend.
So let me ask you this, and I know a lot of people in our, maybe who are not Catholic, sometimes they make the assumption that, like, maybe your organization or Catholic hospitals or whatever might only serve Catholics. So do you have to be Catholic to do the, or you know, talk about that.
You don't have, we serve anyone.
Yeah,
no matter their faith, whatever religion they are.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think a lot of times people think that, you know, hospital's a little bit different, but, you know, when you have other services, they think that maybe you only serve Catholics, but that's never really been the Catholic model of, you know, it's kind of you serve everyone, you know, and it doesn't matter your religious affiliation when you're coming in, you know, for help.
Right.
I want to talk a little bit about needs. What kind of maybe challenges or needs does your organization have, you know, maybe whether, you know, because of COVID or in terms of operation, or do you use volunteers or financial contribution? What are your needs right now?
So as a not-for-profit, we have a lot of needs, and certainly financial is a need. We've certainly been affected by the pandemic, not being able to have some of our fundraising events. So financial need is always there. But in addition to that, we serve so many women with basic needs in the community. They can come to us at the beginning of their pregnancy. So we always need newborn clothing. We also help women that have other children. So we take up to adult child size of clothing. We take donations really of any size.
Now, let me ask you this, because I'm thinking about all the baby clothes that I have right now still. Do the baby clothes need to be brand new, or can they
nope.
be like gently used?
Gently used.
Okay.
Yep. And that's what we rely on volunteers. We are blessed that we do receive a lot of donations, but we need volunteers to help us keep organized and sort them and put them on the appropriate shelf. So we rely heavily on our volunteers that come.
And besides clothing, do you need hard lines as well? I'm thinking cribs, baby seats, car seats, that sort of thing?
We need car seats. Yep, we need car seats. And we need, and like you said, the basic needs, we hand out laundry detergent, toilet paper, paper towels, cleaning supplies. And cribs, we can use cribs as well.
So everyone, every mother out there that's listening that still has their baby clothes,
yeah.
They can go. You know, that's a thing they can do. You know, this fall or winter, you know, they can sort out their attic or their baby closet. And I'm thinking I maybe need to do that myself. So what are some of the and how do people, if they want to volunteer, what are the various, you mentioned sorting clothes, what are the various jobs or tasks that volunteers can do? Like if someone's listening, think, okay, I want to volunteer. Can they sort clothes at home, or do they need to physically come on site?
Okay,
tell us about that.
So if they want to help with donations, everything would be here on site, because they can, if they think, you know, I really don't know that I can help with donations, that might be a lot of heavy lifting, or but they want to help in the office, we can use office help, helping with the phones, because that relieves staff of the opportunity to go and help with the other, put stuff away and do the donation center too.
So you said the process is roughly, 2 years from the time a person's maybe, is that from when a couple is approved?
Right.
After they're approved, then it's 2 years.
Right.
So how long is the, I guess, approval process in terms
of? Usually about 8 to 12 weeks.
Okay. And then do you have people kind of, I guess, in the wings, so to speak, that are, you have various couples that are waiting, right? And
right.
So what would be your, I mean, I get, what would be your list of how many people you have waiting? I mean, do you have a waiting list, I guess? Or is there more, where's the demand? Is the demand more, you've got too many adoptive parents, or do you have, you know, fewer, you know what I'm saying? Or do you have too many babies coming in? I mean, it's kind of a weird question.
So of course
we
have
question.
More adoptive couples than. That's why our wait's 2 years.
Okay.
But part of the home study process is they go through a training. And so it's an 8-hour training, and we help them with just understanding adoption, talk to them about how to talk to their child about adoption, how to talk to the family about adoption, and the legalities of adoption, and what it's like to have a birth mother in their life.
Any tips for parents or couples who might want to be adoptive parents of how to kind of push themselves to the top of the list, maybe, knowing that it's kind of a competitive thing in a way?
So a lot of people think that, but it's really not competitive, because the birth mother chooses the adoptive couple by the book, and you really can't compete, because we don't know what she's looking for, and that's the nice thing. It's the right match for her. Occasionally, if a birth mother doesn't, if she feels like she wants help in choosing the family, wants the age like us to help her, then we'll choose one of the families that's been waiting the longest that meets what she's looking for.
Now, since you've been doing this for, I think you mentioned, 28 years? Is that possible? That seems like such a long time. Have you seen any changes in the adoptive parents, I guess, that you're getting? Are you getting more people that are adoptive parents that have infertility issues, or do you have parents coming that maybe they, for some reason, they already have children and they want to adopt more children? I mean, is there a typical adoptive parents that you're seeing, or have you seen, what changes have you seen over time?
I haven't really seen changes in what we see in adoptive couples. It's always been the same. We see changes in the birth mothers. They're older than they were 28 years ago. The women that we work with are an older population than we worked with.
What constitutes older? I mean, we're
well, our average weight is probably in her. For the birth mother, our average birth mother is probably in her middle to late 20s.
Okay. Versus
teenager. Or
okay.
18, 19.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now, we have just a couple minutes left. Is there any, over your time that you've been there, is there any really memorable story other than the original adoption that sticks out in your mind that is just being really inspiring or just brought you a lot of joy?
It brings me a lot of joy. There's so many stories, but one thing is you truly see that adoption's in God's hands when the birth mother meets the adoptive couple, when they come together and they just instantly have a connection with one another, you know that God's hands are working.
And then for volunteers, if you could just quickly go over what people can do to volunteer, how they go about that, and then how people can make contributions, whether that be a physical item or actual monetary donation. So
volunteers, all they have to do, it's simple, just give us a call, tell us what they're thinking about doing, speak to Christine, and she can let them come in and see if we're a right fit for them, if that's what they want to do, and help out. She'll show them the donation center that we have. If you want to make a donation or learn more about our agency, go to our website at givingbirthtohope.org. We have a Facebook page. We're also on Instagram, so you can become friends with us.
So is the best place to start the website?
It is.
Okay, give us the website one more time.
So it's www.givingbirthtohope.org.
And that would be a place to start for?
That would be a place to start.
For either adoptive?
For either. If you want to give a donation, you can do that through our website.
Okay.
There's a donation tab. Or if you want to learn more about our programs, you can view them there.
And that would be for either a woman who's experiencing a pregnancy now who's
right.
thinking about adoption or parents who want to adopt, either one?
Correct.
So how has this work impacted your faith life?
Well, yeah, like I said, definitely, that's why I came to St. Elizabeth, because I wanted to be able to work with the Catholic Church, and it definitely grows your faith.
That's awesome. Well, our guest today has been Renee Hummel. She is the director of the St. Elizabeth Coleman Pregnancy and Adoption Services. Thanks so much for being our guest today. And again, that website is givingbirthtohope.org. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Okay, thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.